Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new day, and I'm feeling good.
Welcome to Transformation Begins With You. I am so excited to be on the line with you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's an exciting day in my life. I'm a little nervous today only because this segment is totally about me and my testimony. I am so excited to share it with you. I have to say that Transformation Begins With You is an awesome way to begin this segment talking about my transformation and why I can tell you today that transformation does begin with you. And I want you to sit back and relax. I'm going to take some time today just to share a little bit about my life, just to give you some encouragement as to how God can turn your life around. You know, I was planning this show, and it wasn't going to be about my testimony. It was actually going to be about something else because we're doing the Feeling Good series with Jennifer Hudson and Weight Watchers. We, Harvest Girls International, has a 90-day empowerment program that we're working on, and we're doing a wonderful job. We have 15 ladies who are on the 90-day empowerment. Not only are we losing weight in pounds, we are losing the weights in our lives that hold us back, hold us down. We're dropping that weight as well. And so we're having a great time, and that's why I use the theme song, Feeling Good, because actually I am feeling the best that I have probably felt in a very long time. And I just wanted to share that with you. But God did arrest my spirit and say to me, you talk about everything else, you need to talk about me. And so that's why today I want to share my testimony. But before I do, I want to give a shout-out to Harvest Girls International and the 90-Day Empowerment program and Weight Watchers, and just say that this is an awesome time in the lives of women today, and I'm so excited that we have joined forces with Weight Watchers. This show is sponsored by Harvest Girls International. Harvest Girls International is a women's empowerment organization designed with you in mind. At Harvest Girls International, we empower women with the power to dream and to celebrate the journey. We also empower young girls ages 9 through 17. And we just love empowering you on this show, Transformation Begins With You. Well, there comes a time in your life when you must tell your story. Although our lives have many chapters, sometimes we choose the ones we want to tell. But God knows every chapter in your life. He knows what has happened, what is going to happen, and what's happening now. And I saw a quote on Facebook that I just want to embrace from Lena Horne. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way that you carry it. And so that's what inspired me today to come forward and to share a little bit of my life. It's, you know, my life and your life probably is so many turns and so many ups and downs and places that we could talk about that we can't tell it all in one segment or in one city. It would take a lifetime to tell your life story. But I just wanted to share a little bit about it. I wanted to say that in my life growing up, I was the fifth of seven children. I was the first girl. And, you know, I had a great relationship with my mom. My mom was an awesome woman. She still is. She's still alive and well today. Had a great relationship with my brothers. And my sister and I had a little sibling rivalry there. But overall, a normal, what we would call a normal childhood. Grew up being taunted a little bit by girls. I always wanted girls to be my friend. I always felt like girls, we were allies. And because I had such a wonderful relationship with my mom, I felt that, yeah, at girls, we should be friends. But then I found out as I went along at a very early age, 7, 8, 9 years old, about backstabbing, backbiting, gossiping, and all those things, sometimes that comes with, you know, the growing pains. And it really I took it to heart really, really strongly because I felt that what's wrong with me? I thought something was wrong with me that I was being talked about, I was being lashed out at. It was just part of some of the growing up nature. But I was brought up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, minister, evangelist, and so I was brought up in the church. I was what they call a PK, a preacher's kid. And in being a preacher's kid, we didn't get to do a lot or go a lot, but I was a little bit rebellious because I said, as soon as I get 18, I'm going to strike out and do all those things that all my friends can do that I can't do. But I later found out, as we all do, that mama never lied and daddy always told the truth. And my father was an awesome man. He passed three years in July. He was an awesome man, and he showed me about life through his living, how he loved people in spite of themselves, how he forgave people, how when people talked about him and put him down, how he continued to love them and embrace them as if nothing had happened because his love for the Lord was true and it was pure. And so I watched that walk. On the other hand, my mom was a little bit more fiery. She taught us how to fight back and how to not let people run over you and stand up for what you believe in. And so my dad did the same way, but he did it in more of a love nature. My mom was more passionate about it. So it was a great combination in a childhood. So I grew up, went to high school, did a little bit of college, kind of didn't know where I was going in my life. I had a gift that I didn't know at that time was a gift, and that was a gift to speak. I had a gift to speak and a gift to write. And in high school and in college, I was in debate, and I was in dramatizations, and I was on the speech team. I used to win first place, but I didn't know what that was. No one told me that's a gift. So I kind of went around life trying to figure out what it was that I was supposed to do. I ended up getting a job at General Motors at that time. GM was the top-paying GM for Chrysler. All of the automotive places were top-paying jobs, so I ended up securing a job there. During a hiatus of college, and I worked at GM. That was the rest of my career, basically working at GM. GM moved me to St. Louis, and I lived in St. Louis for about 3.5 years, and I ended up getting married. I married someone from Indianapolis, but we moved to St. Louis, and the exciting thing about it, I was 26 years old, roundabout, I remember, giving my life back to the Lord. I had been saved since I was about 9, and I hadn't really had a strong relationship with the Lord. But I went to a church in St. Louis, and I embraced my relationship with God. And something changed inside of my life. Something changed in my heart and in my mind. Getting a little choked up about it because it was so real. And it felt like God was squeezing my heart, and it was just so real, and I just wanted to share that with people. But in the meantime, being married, I ended up giving birth to twins, loving God with all my heart, and as I had my twins, one of my sons was born without a hand. His 5 digits on his left hand was missing. They call it amniotic band syndrome. And I didn't understand. I said, Lord, you know, I'd never questioned God. I was never a person that said, why, Lord, why me? Never did any of those things. I just said, Lord, I don't know why or what I've done. I said, but if I've done anything, let me know. But God showed me a scripture that said when the blind boy was brought before Jesus to be healed, people wanted to know, well, who sinned? The mother or the father? And Jesus said, neither, but for my glory. And God said, he told me to name the first child, which was Joshua, born without a hand. Said, this is for my glory. And so I named the first one, didn't know I was going to have boys. I just had two boy names, Joshua and James. And so I named the first one Joshua, and then I named the second one James, of course. And so God spoke to me and said, James will be to Joshua like Moses was to Aaron. Did not know at that time what that meant. And as time went on, I found out that Aaron was the helpmeet for Moses. Moses had what they say is a speech impediment because the Bible says he was slow of speech. And that makes sense to me when Joshua was born, that James would be his helpmeet because Joshua was without a hand. I did not know how I was going to raise a child with a disability of that nature till I saw someone, a child with the same amniotic band syndrome, worse than my child. And the mother said to me, she said, Chris, if my child could only have 5 digits missing, this child that I'm talking about had feet amputated and had part of the skull amputated and part of the eyes amputated. She said, if my child could only be missing 5 digits and to still run, walk, talk, half of the face of the child was amputated, she said, that would be a blessing. She said, you are so blessed. And from that, I went on to raise my son, both of my sons, as if they were blessed, and they still are blessed today. And so I started to experience a breakdown in myself. And when I say a breakdown, my image of myself after having the twins, because my body didn't go back the way I thought and I didn't look the same, I thought I was less than because something had changed on the outside of me. I didn't think at that time to embrace the inside of myself. But I looked at myself, didn't like how I looked. My marriage was not good, and it just went downhill from there. In the worst part of my life, I have to tell you this, not feeling good about myself, not really embracing women, because I felt all my life there has been so much trouble with women in my life. I worked with men. It was easy to embrace men. God told me, he said, in the midst of me writing off women, which I didn't really realize I was writing off myself because I am a woman, God said, I want you to birth an organization, and I want you to call it Harvest Girls International. And it was really a strange thing for me because God came knocking and said, start it, when I thought life had stopped. But in the meantime, even before that, I had taken a vision to my pastor, my bishop, Bishop T. Garrett Benjamin, Jr., Light of the World, Christian Church, Indianapolis, Indiana, which I've been a member since I was 9 years old, and my whole family, generational, has been members of the church. I took a vision to him, and I laid it down in front of him, and he never looked at it. He laid hands on it, and he said, this is going to be bigger than what you know. I didn't understand at that time. That was years ago. He said, this is going to go all over the world. I had no idea what Bishop was talking about, but I felt if it was God, it would come to pass. He said, I'm not even going to read it. I already know it's going to go far. So I want to thank my bishop today for giving me that word and that encouragement that I will never, ever forget, because that was the birth of Harvest Girls International. I started in the church. My bishop allowed me to work in the church. He allowed me to foster that organization and to build it as a women's ministry in the church. It was called Sister to Sister. And then God spoke to me one day and said, now it's time to come out, and you need to go out into the community and out into the world. So Harvest Girls International started. And as Harvest Girls International started, Harvest Girls International started based on the scripture, for thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time as this, and the story of Esther. Because Esther got with the girls in the harvest. That's what my Bible said. But I think it says she got with her handmaidens in the King James Version. And when I saw Girls of the Harvest, Harvest Girls, I thought, wow, what a neat name. And so some of the ladies that had embraced me in the church, we started calling each other Harvest Girls, and from then it was kind of history. So now Harvest Girls International is incorporated. It's an organization that is starting to leap out around the world. We now have a chapter in Atlanta. Helen Chambers is executive director of that chapter in Atlanta. We're going to launch a chapter in Dallas in May and in San Francisco around about July or August. They've just asked me to come to L.A. and launch a chapter. And we have so many other things that we're doing. We're doing Girls of the Harvest, ages 9 through 17, empowering young girls. And I'm not saying all that to say toot-toot to my own horn to myself. I'm saying all that to say this to you out there who think that life has stopped when it really has started. You know, you have to start where you leave off at. You have to start when it feels like everything has stopped. God wanted me to go to another level, not that pitiful, whiny level. When God came to me and said, I want you to start this chapter of Harvest Girls International, when I was at my lowest point, and my husband had left, I was alone with my kids, I had medical problems, I had emotional problems, I had a lot of things going on. And I said, I can't start something like this. I'm in terrible shape. And God said, you're in the right shape to do what I need done. And so what I did, I started pressing myself toward the greatness that I didn't even see in my life, but I knew it was in Christ. I started pressing myself toward God. I started praying. I started fasting. I started reading the Word. I started praying. I started fasting, reading the Word. I started listening to the messages that was being brought to me through God by ministers and through my bishop. And I just started wanting to clean my life up. I started wanting to repair myself. And in that, God started to increase the love in my life for myself. And before I could start to reach out to women, I had to start embracing the love that was in me that I didn't even know that was there. I didn't even have an emotional attachment to me. So I had to find that place in me that gave me the strength to empower myself so that I could empower others. And I wanted to say also that you have to trust God when you've been betrayed. When you've been betrayed by people, when you've been betrayed by a marriage or a spouse or a girlfriend or a family member, you have to trust God. God didn't do it. That person did it. You have to trust God. And I started trusting him. And how do you trust him? You trust him according to his word. And when you stand on the word of God and you start to believe that word of God, that nothing is impossible and nothing is too hard for God, you can do anything. If you stop being pitiful and make up your mind, I will not spend another day being pitiful and pathetic, because God says that I am great. And so if I am great, then I believe it because God said it. I'm going to find that greatness in me. And I said, how can a dead person live? I was dead on the inside of a living body on the outside. And I read a scripture, and God said, that same Jesus, that same spirit that was in Jesus will quicken your mortal body. And I used to ask the Lord every day, quicken me, Holy Spirit. Quicken my mortal body, just like you quickened Jesus. Quicken me in the spirit, O Lord, to move, to live, to have my being. But you have to make up your mind. There's a willingness you have to be able to go forward in the things of God. I could not do what I do today if it had not been for the Lord on my side. I was so glad when somebody said unto me, go into the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, there's joy, there's peace. If you embrace it. So I heard somebody tell me one day, well, that doesn't work for me. It doesn't work because you haven't tried it, really. You haven't embraced it, really. You haven't tapped in. Denying some things about you is what you have to do when you want to be the best that God has given you. I'm working on me even still today. I will never quit working on me. I feel a love inside of me now that I've never felt before. I didn't think I could ever get to the place where I would be able to feel the embrace of God squeezing in my heart again like I did the very first time when I was 26 years old. I didn't think that it was there. But the more that I serve, the more that I give, the more I feel the love of God in my heart, the more that I feel the embrace of God squeezing my heart on the inside, letting me know that it's okay. And I speak to the sisters today. Though you were dead in yourself, yet shall you live. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. I say to my sisters today, rise up and be made whole in the name of Jesus. I just want to encourage you today that this is the day that the Lord has made. You can rejoice and be glad in it. You can change your mind. It's not about what has happened to you. It's about what God can do for you. God can turn any situation around. You know what I found out? As I was saying, it's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. Your situation may not ever change at home or whatever, but it's the way that you handle your situation that has to change. It's the way that I handle all the transgressions in my life or what people have done to me in my life. It's the way that I have handled that that has caused me to elevate myself and to grow, because God said, if you go higher, I'll go with you. But you got to make a decision that I want to go higher. Some people sit there and wait on God. Take me higher, Lord. Take me higher, Lord. God said, get up and go higher. I'm right there with you. And so I'm excited for you today that there is nothing impossible for God. There is nothing that God cannot turn around in your life. I don't care what it is. You have to embrace it as that whatever God says, that's what it is. Read his word. Study his word. Empower yourself to change. Change is creating hope and newfound great expectation. Create something in your life by embracing what God says in the word. And I just want to read you this little poem that I wrote about motherhood, money, and men. There was a conference that we held at Light of the World Christian Church with the Women's Ministry of Light of the World Christian Church and my sisters, Dr. Jewel Diamond Taylor, Dr. Ilan Bamani, and life coach Kathy Holloway Hill. God inspired me to write this poem, and I want to share it with you today. I am a woman, fearfully and wonderfully made. I stepped out of the soul of man, which God has ordained. I am a woman by nature and a mother by trade. But a woman that fears the Lord, only she shall be praised. Money is a bondage that sometimes shuts me down. Nevertheless, I find a way to rise above it and keep my head up off the ground. Don't talk to me about men, for I've had my share of sorrows. However, I rise above the negativity because I know there is hope for tomorrow. When I think of three things that arrest me from within, my soul rises up and cries out, motherhood, money, and men. My union with motherhood is strong and intact. Sometimes overcommitment is a stronghold. In fact, I sometimes overindulge in money, not just because I want the finer things in life, but sometimes it's what I do to cover up my strife. I have come to the realization that all I want to do is to be free and walk in my purpose in life, the one God has designed for me. If I keep my head to the sky and my ear to hear the voice of God, by equipping myself with power, then I can beat the odds. I now have today to turn my life around from within, to conquer my adversities, pursue my destiny, and set my goals to win. I join forces with my sister because I know that in God we all are kin. I must love her, encourage her, and know that we can be victorious when it comes to motherhood, money, and men. My sisters, I pray that this segment has touched you. I pray it has strengthened you. I pray that it has blessed you. I didn't write anything down. I just let it flow from my heart. Please forgive me for some of the moments that I got a little teary, but I am so overwhelmed with joy and this newfound life. I just want to say, the more you bless others, and I just want to say to my bishop today, I get it now. I get it. He used to talk about serving and still does. Talks about serving all the time. I get it. The more I serve, the more I love, the more I do, the more God embraces me, the more my love grows, the more I want to do more. I couldn't figure out why I was stuck in my thinking, because once the love of God taps into your life, it's not about what you think. It's about what the love of God is in your life. And I love the fact that I have so many opportunities to embrace women all over, no matter what their walk of life is. I just want to say I feel so blessed today to have this opportunity to talk to you and to bless you and to tell you that you too can turn it around. Transformation does begin with you saying, yes, Lord. It does begin with you saying, I want to do your will, Lord. I want to be more, and then doing something about it. Start to serve. Start to find a place in your life where you can prosper yourself as a servant. You can't lead until you serve. God is so faithful and so just. He will reign on the just and the unjust. Please, ladies, I just want you today to know the love of God for yourself. I can only tell you about it and show you, but only you can embrace it for yourself. It's not about what everybody else says. It's about what God says about you. When I say you have the final say about you, I'm talking about you have the final say according to the word of God, what God says about you. I just want to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for this day. For, Lord, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, O God, that you that keep us never sleep nor slumber. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for healing for every woman under the sound of my voice, whether she be sick, O God, in her body, whether her mind is distorted, O God, whether her emotional state is broken down, whether her finances are just disarray. God, I pray for her, and I pray healing right now from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I come against the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, and I bind the enemy against every thought that says that you are not great. For you are great. Oh, God says you're great. I love you, my sister, and praise you right now. Lord, I thank you, oh, God, for the lives of women. Oh, Lord, I thank you that we can look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, I thank you that you that keep us never sleep nor slumber. Father, I thank you, oh, God, that women will come to you from the north, the south, the east, and the west, saying, what must I do to be saved? Women will bring their children, oh, God, if you're not in a church home. Father God, prick their hearts that they will find a church home, oh God, and they will bring their mothers and their daughters, and they will bring their children and their husbands. They will bring their children, and we will be one family in the body of Christ, oh Lord. Father, I just give you praise, honor, and glory that you will touch someone today, that they will never be made, they will never be the same and be made whole in the name of Jesus. I pray, amen. Sisters, I love you. I bless you. I wish you health and that you may prosper. I love you with the love of the Lord. And remember, transformation does and always begins with you. And I want to say, until we meet again, it's a new day, it's a new life. And I know with the power of God, you will be feeling good.
Flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new day. And I'm feeling.